There's been debate about this. The High Court and the Constitutional Court has finally decided to make private use and cultivation of marijuana legal in South Africa. But the terms and conditions are somewhat vague. I think while the legislation has taken a step in the right direction, there needs to be a lot more clarification, specifically as far as the working environment is concerned. With this in mind, we've got Jose George, director at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer's employment practice, on the line, just to give us a little bit of insight to this. We had a discussion this morning about this in the studio, and nobody's quite sure what the ramifications of the legislation is. Jose, are you on the line?
I am. It's not a great line. I can hear you, though.
No, it sounds like I'm in a tin can. Okay, Jose, so the decision in the High Court last week, as I was saying to the listeners, there are obviously going to be ramifications. And discussing around the studio this morning, we don't know what the legislation, the specifics entail. I mean, you wouldn't want your airline pilot to have smoked some hash before he takes off, or a guy operating a 5,000-ton crane. Can you elucidate on this? What the legislation says now, and what the ramifications are for employees and employers?
Sure. So I think our starting point has to be what the Constitutional Court has actually ruled. So it's a twofold judgment. It decriminalizes the use or possession of cannabis by an adult in private for that adult's personal consumption in private.
Okay, could I just stop you there? Decriminalization. What is the difference between decriminalization and legal? Or is there no difference?
Well, the effect is the same.
Okay.
It just says that it is no longer a criminal offense.
Okay.
So, and then tied to that, also decriminalizes the cultivation of cannabis, because if you're going to use it, how are you going to get it? So it seems to say that you can't buy it, but you can certainly cultivate it for yourself. How you get the seeds, etc., is kind of left up in the air.
Yeah.
Also, what it does, which is quite significant, is the High Court judgment that went to the Constitutional Court linked privacy to a dwelling or the home. What the Constitutional Court has done is said that's too restrictive. No. Very well, what the kind of effects are in terms of how they impair you. So I think a lot of that still has to be settled. But you mentioned a pilot, for example, earlier.
Yeah.
I think in those kinds of sectors where safety is paramount, so somebody flying a plane, already you're not allowed to drink alcohol for a certain number of hours before you do fly, regardless of what the effects are going to be. I think with pilots as well, obviously now you can't, but I certainly don't think that this judgment is going to allow you to smoke a joint before take off.
Yeah.
If you look at things like smelters, where you're dealing with very hot liquids which can burn through clothes, etc., you certainly don't want to take a chance that somebody may or may not be a right. I think there you quite legitimately can apply zero tolerance policy. The other example that comes to mind is obviously somebody working in a nuclear reactor. So there, or even now, if you work in the petroleum sector, you can't come to work if they recognize you and you're over a certain amount, you just simply won't be allowed onto the premises.
Yeah.
So refineries and things like that, the danger simply is too much. However, if you're working in an industry where safety isn't that important an issue, then, you may come to work slightly impaired. Certainly, I don't think that's allowable. But it may not lead to your dismissal if you do come to work impaired. But it may be a more kind of progressive discipline kind of issue.
Yeah, it sort of boils down to the definition of impairment within a certain sector.
Yeah. So the other difficulty is, how do you test for it? So with
Well, absolutely. And where does the zero tolerance on the part of the employee infringe on the rights to privacy of the individual employee? It's I think it's going to be a bit of a minefield.
Yeah, look, the privacy issue, I don't think applies at work. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination can the workplace be seen as a private place.
Yeah.
You're dealing with other employees. It may not be kosher by other employees for you to smoke marijuana. It's definitely going to affect you if you're smoking it at work. So there again, you know, your right to privacy can only extend that far as well.
And now, for people who have been convicted of smoking and so on, who are sitting in prison at the moment, is there going to be any retroactive legal action? Is there going to be an amnesty? Is this will there be anything done, or do they serve out their terms?
Yeah, as far as I understand, I think Judge Zonda deals with it in his judgment when he says this won't apply retrospectively. But I think certainly there'd be enough for you. If you did have a record for a very minor amount in terms of possession, for you to approach the authorities and to see if you could not have that expunged.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not a criminal lawyer, so that's not my area.
No, absolutely. No,
I think that has to deal with you more likely now in light of the judgment.
Okay. I think this is going to be, as you say, there's no need to worry. I think they've got things well in hand, but I think this is going to be a bit of a minefield. There are so many different aspects to consider going forward. Let's hope we're going to see some decent progress made in the next 2 years.
Yeah, and I'm sure, considering the substance we're dealing with, you're going to have some very creative excuses about the use and when pre-teasing.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I think in certain cases, in certain industries, it might actually be a helpful productivity booster. All right, Jose, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for your insight there. I think I'm not sure if you've cleared things up or just created more questions for us, but fantastic chatting to you. Hopefully, we can catch up in the next couple of months and see what has been done and what's going on in the workplace.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. That was Jose George, Director Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer's Employment Practice, getting to grips with the legalization of marijuana. Or did we get to grips? Or 2 years' time? Or I don't know, man. Maybe we should go get some hash and we figure this out later. All right, guys. We're going to take a short break. Please follow us on Twitter at Africa Biz Radio, at HR Wired. Facebook, Africa Business Radio, hashtag HR Wired. Drop us an email, info@africabusinessradio.com. Or download our app on the iStore or Google Play, and you can take us wherever you go, and you can interact with us. And when we come back, we're going to be chatting to Andrew Johnson. He's the CEO of MasterStart, on a new study that reveals fears that skills will be outdated and your job will go away.
Resources can no longer be regarded as a paper-pushing job. It is vital that the HR function is at the heart of your organizational structure, playing a part in all strategic, tactical, and operational decisions. It is about making employers realize that the most valuable assets in their arsenal are employees. HR is about achieving organizational goals through people and creating incentives that align employee objectives with the organization's mission statement.
And
perspective actually links it to the individual. So arguably, you could go smoke a joint in the forest, which would be considered private because privacy is private to you as opposed to a dwelling. And you would be outside the long arm of the law there as well.
Right.
So what the court's done is it's suspended the order of invalidity for 24 months so that Parliament can actually write the legislation or fix the legislation appropriately, because that's not the court's function. However, it's granted interim relief by the reading in of what I've just told you now, the decriminalization of the use or possession and the cultivation into the act. So effectively, you can smoke marijuana in your home now or in a private place, and you won't be sanctioned for that.
And how does this, I mean, you smoke a joint on the way to work, and you get to work, you've stoned. Does this sort of fall within the umbud of same as alcoholism? You can drink when you're at home, but you cannot go to work while under the influence.
Yeah, look, I think the foundations are there as to how we deal with cannabis. The bottom line in any employment relationship, an employee must be able to render a satisfactory service to the employer. So as soon as that's compromised, you're messing with the foundation of the employment relationship. So you've got a lot in terms of dues and things like that. You can't come to work under the influence. If it affects your ability to do your work properly, then obviously the employer can sanction you. So that principle is sound, and that can apply to the use of cannabis as well. The difficulty is, with alcohol, it's very easy. You know, there's a breathalyzer, you blow into an instrument, the instrument tells you if you're over or under the limits, and you proceed from there. We don't have any quick, easy, convenient means of testing for cannabis at the moment.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I'm not sure that we will be able to develop something where you simply blow into an instrument and it tells you what your cannabis levels are.
Yeah.
So I think there your testing may be slightly more invasive. It may be a saliva swab, it may be urine, it may be blood, depending.
Yeah, and then it'll also be retroactive.
Come out in the wash. Yes, exactly. That's the other difficulty with cannabis. It stays in your system for up to 6 months. So how do you know when you actually consume